In a historic moment in South Africa, the controversial Constitution 18th Amendment Bill, which proposed the allowance of land expropriation with no compensation, fell flat in Parliament on the 7th of December 2021.
Honourable members, the outcome of the division is as follows. There were no abstentions. 145 members voted against, and 204 members voted in support of the bill. As the required majority has not been obtained, in terms of Section 74, subsection 2 of the Constitution, the bill will not be read a second time.
The governing party, the ANC, with only 200 members in attendance at the parliamentary sitting, managed to garner 204 votes. It needed 267 for the bill to pass into law. The ANC cut a pretty lonely figure, with the exception of support from Al-Jamaha. The overwhelming majority of opposition parties opposed the ANC's manoeuvre, with a combined vote of 145. Sunday Times political correspondent Mwande Amashabalala described what happened in the parliamentary sitting.
ANC's defeat in parliament came after a spirited attempt by its members of parliament trying to divide and conquer the small parties. This emerged during the debate leading up to the voting. Among other MPs who tried their level best was Mathole Motsekga, as well as Justice and Correctional Services Minister Ronald Lamula. Motsekga and Lamula tried to guilt-trip the small parties, with Motsekga calling them an unholy alliance that was bound to collapse despite their opposition to the ANC. Lamula, on the other side, accused and likened the small parties to people who have gotten their lobola situation sorted but are still pretending not to be married. The opposition parties were having none of the ANC guilt-tripping, with the DA and Freedom Front Plus saying if the amendment were to be approved, it would cause devastating economic crisis in the country. This while EFF leader Julius Malema said the Red Berets were not going to vote for the ANC after the two parties could not agree on the EFF's suggestion that all land expropriated be in the custodianship of the state. Other parties that opposed the move include the IFP, whose MP Naren Singh called the move by the ANC smoke and mirrors and blamed the governing party for the slow pace of land redistribution since 1994.
In an admittedly controversial comparison, founder and president of the Free Market Foundation, Leon Lowe, says that the initial draft of the bill was likely purposefully extreme.
I understand a pattern of government intervention, and I use this analogy, which is potentially sensitive, but it's meant to capture a concept, which is what I call the gang rape hypothesis. And I do that reluctantly. I wish I could find a better term. What governments do worldwide, including ours, is they propose something very extreme, like a gang threatening to rape, and then they moderate, they back off and they soften it. And like the gang saying, well, no, it's just going to be the gang leader. And then people feel a sense of relief, as if they're sort of somehow better off. They've gained from what was worse.
But he emphasizes that the Constitution 18th Amendment Bill, which was rejected in Parliament, no longer represents that initial draft. And far from benefiting disenfranchised black South Africans, they were more likely to become the unwitting victims of the proposed bill.
Every iteration has been a slight dilution, and that's welcome, but of course it shouldn't have started off being bad. It goes back to the 1920s, if you track it back far enough, and it was the law under which black South Africans were dispossessed under apartheid, along with the Group Areas Act. And I'm sorry to say that everybody now has a conception, which is completely mistaken, that the victims of this law, if it goes through, will be rich white people, particularly rich white Afrikaans commercial farmers. That's completely wrong. By far, the overwhelming number of victims will be black South Africans who are in lower income groups and living, for example, in RDP houses. One of the five criteria is that if the government has invested more than the current market value it can expropriate without compensation. Well, that basically every RDP house, it's every old location pre-94 apartheid house, and it really just makes the vulnerable people back where they were under Furvutian apartheid. So I'm afraid this is very serious, not for any rich people, rich white or black people. If I were them, I would relax. They're very unlikely to be a victim. A few will be sort of token victims, but they will fight the matter in court, and who knows what the courts will decide.
Lowe adamantly agrees that restitution must be made for historical land seizures and uneven property rights that continue to exist today. But he suggests that a far simpler solution would be for government to redistribute the land that they already have access to, which he estimates to be worth a total of 1/4 of all of South Africa's property.
But let's just be very clear about something. Redistribution is a weasel word and a lie. None of the land expropriated at billions of rands of cost or purchased, willing buyer, willing seller, has gone to black people. This is a very important lie. It is exactly under apartheid where the state owned the land and black people lived there as tenants and wards of the state. The land doesn't go to black people. If it did, it would have some merit. If they became the full freehold owners in exactly the same way as people in historically white suburbs, Bishop's Court and Bryanston and central Johannesburg own land, the government of this day, 25 years, a generation after apartheid, still does not envisage black people simply being landowners. It still does not envisage getting rid of the ghastly apartheid legacy, which, by the way, was the worst crime of apartheid, land dispossession. And there is still no plan to repossess black people, either with land that's so-called redistributed. It's not. It's simply nationalized. And that is why it is unproductive. It is, if we're given in full ownership to black people, it would be fully productive like any other farm or any other property in an urban area. So no, that is not what gets done. And what should be done is the land expropriated under apartheid without compensation, which is something like 10 million pieces of land presently occupied by black South Africans, valued at First National Bank at something like 1.6 billion trillion rand, in other words, the equivalent of a full budget or a third of the GDP. This is the quantity and quality of land already held by black South Africans, and the government should just give them title deeds. They should be presumed the owner, and all that should now be done is that should be registered. That would be an act of empowerment far beyond any radical's wildest dreams, an act of liberation, an act of transformation. Unfortunately, this bill is barking up quite the wrong tree. The idea is to take five categories of land, which won't amount to very much, land already held by the state. The state is going to expropriate land from itself and not compensate itself, which is very weird. It is also, for example, hazardous land. Well, what is that? That's land, as it happens, mostly where black people live along the Yuxkay River or whatever. And then so-called speculative land. Well, what is that? How does anyone know whether the land is held speculatively? And then where the state has done the investment. And that is basically all low-income and black housing in South Africa will be subject to expropriation with no compensation. So I'm afraid to say that people have got this wrong. There's a presumption that this is somehow pro-transformation and pro-black South Africans. It is quite the opposite. This puts black South Africans back where they were under the worst days of apartheid.
The Constitution 18th Amendment Bill was eventually rejected by the likes of the DA, the EFF, FF Plus, ATM, IFP, ACDP, the Good Party, and UDM. Reporting for Times Live Podcasts, I am Paige Muller.